Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, cool,
or attending one live,
goal,
you can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.
American Public University supports military families by helping them save on an education that goes wherever life leads. Learn online at your own pace for just $250 per credit hour. Visit apu.apus.edu/military.
Dear Traction, Toyota has 22 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive to grip every twist and every turn. Come rain, slick, sleet, or snow, leaves, mud, gravel, or sharp turns. Tackle the trails in the nimble RAV4. Drive steady in the all-hybrid Camry with all-wheel drive available on every trim. Or turn up the traction in the beefed-up Tundra with available four-wheel drive. Find those wheels at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
At Mercedes-Benz, there's a reason we go the extra mile. From testing our vehicles in desert heat and Arctic cold to creating AI that can anticipate your needs and preferences on the road, we demand that every car is worthy of our star. Because it's Mercedes-Benz.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, it's time for a numbers game here on VSiN. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo, getting you ready for your Tuesday morning on this February 18th edition of the show. Kelly, we had a pretty big Monday.
Yeah.
Got home 3-0 on our college hoops plays.
Look at you.
You are also the best international hockey bettor that I know, Kelly. I just want to off the cuff really just make that known.
I didn't do anything with it pregame, but man, everything we were talking about yesterday, that's just kind of how it ended up playing out. Of just like the situation didn't develop, but you kept going back to, okay, how much is the U.S. going to care when they've kind of got a spot clinched,
right,
and, you know, some guys were out of the game, coincidentally.
U.S. goes up, what, 1-0 and falls 3-1?
2-1.
2-1 to the Swedes.
Finally,
yep. Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe the Four Nations face-off is just like the NBA. Maybe you're just better off playing it in-game instead of going pre-flop on it.
That's what I did, wait till it was tied up again, and then I got in a little bit live on Sweden. I still wasn't confident. Are you kidding me? Every hockey guy I talked to yesterday was like, no. Like, they're going to take this seriously. International competition.
I figured, you know, the one thing, and we spoke about this, that gave me pause was the fact that it was on U.S. soil.
Yeah,
and that they had
yeah.
been playing in Canada, and now it's their first game back, albeit a meaningless one. First game back in Boston. Championship will be in Boston. Thursday rematch, U.S.-Canada. I've got this one. Tell me if you're seeing something different. I've got this one as a pick 'em. All right, slight money line, slightly shaded towards the U.S. side. 15 cents towards the U.S., 5 cents towards Team Canada. How are you feeling about this one?
I'm interested now in going the other side and betting the U.S. in this game, which is, not a homer pick because I just bet Sweden yesterday. But
Sweden in a meaningless exhibition.
Right. I mean, but it does feel like, Joe, that they're calling injuries for a couple of these players ahead of time. I don't really know how real they are. There was, one in the game yesterday that looks a little bit more real. But I feel like that's being baked into this price a little bit, and you can get USA a little cheaper than I was expecting. And shop around, because it's a lot of places it's more near a pick 'em.
You think VSiN's own and my good friend Dave Ross is going to hate me and write me off as a friend if I kind of like Canada in this spot a little bit? Think that's going to create issues, tension here at the studio?
I mean, Dave might. Yeah, Dave
not going to talk to me when we're switching spots after VSiN by the books?
Dave might, but as long as you're winning money, that's all that matters.
I really think it might be a good revenge spot for this Canada team. I mean, they've just got such ridiculous offensive firepower. I know that goaltending is a bit of a concern here for Canada, and it's pretty mind-boggling how Team Canada can't find a competent goaltender compared to what the U.S. is working with. But I do think their offensive firepower is too much. They're not going to have a one-goal performance, at least in my estimation, like they did on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Do you remember what the odds were on Saturday by any chance? Remember what that money line was?
Going into that?
Yeah.
I don't. I want to say it was not too different than it is here.
Yeah,
maybe Canada was a slight favorite. But yeah, we'll try to pull those up, see what we were dealing with pre-flop on Saturday. Kelly, how about the great guests we've got later today? Speaking of international action, we're going to have our guy Paul Carr. He must be sick of me by now. I've done like 10 episodes of A Numbers Game, and Paul's been on now. I think this will be four of them. He must be absolutely sick of seeing
me. He's, 3-0 over the weekend in the Premier League? Dude's on
2-1 on the Champions League, but he was up like 4 units when he did it last week. More Champions League with Paul. In hour one, we're going to have our friend Drew Dinzik from NBC, Sports Edge, as well as VSiN's own Will Hill. Will will be kicking off hour two. So Drew, Will, and Paul rounding out a terrific guest lineup for us here today. Let's speaking of yesterday's action, obviously, with the Four Nations up in Boston, really good college hoops, and kind of proved my point with two of my three best bets. Of course, all three got home. Two of them, Kelly, down in the Southland Conference, that you can find a really good edge in those mid-major to low-major markets this time of year.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time, yeah. I mean, these are, hey, this is, I mean, really, all year, right? Like, this is where, I think for people that don't bet college basketball regularly, if you're just trying to get into it, it's usually focus on some of the smaller conferences, get used to one conference that you feel really comfortable with. That's where you can go make money. It's easier to do that, and it's easier to get a feel for these teams instead of trying to bet the entire board.
Right. So what I'll do is, you know, look, and I'm not going to lie, I would never go into a season and be like, that's the conference I'm going to focus on. You know, I did not have the Southland on my radar back in September. But you observe, right? I don't bet a ton. I don't bet in a ton of volume November, December. Right. I had maybe over those 2 months in college basketball, I had maybe 20, 25 bets over 60 days. Right. Because you got the NFL going on. You got college football going on. There's plenty of other things to pay close attention to. But you observe how these teams are playing against the number, what they're doing in their non-conference schedule. Perfect example, a team like Houston Christian, Kelly, the Huskies. Mm-hmm. Of course, you knew that going into yesterday's show. Yeah. And the Huskies loaded up their non-conference schedule. Texas A&M, you know, Big 12 opponents, Mountain West opponents. They played really tough competition. So they're losing games. Like, if you look at their margin of victory on the season, it's going to be skewed because they're losing games by 18, 19, 20 points. Oh, but by the way, they're catching 27.5 in non-conference play. So all of a sudden, Houston Christian catches your attention because, all right, they may be, you know, 2-11 straight up, but, oh, they're 10-3 against the number. So what are they doing? Well, they're playing up. They're playing tough. By the time they get into Southland play, now, you know, they're 10-6, 9-7 in conference play straight up and even better against the number. Mm-hmm. So you just pay attention. I believe pay attention to those trends, which teams are covering non-conference. And then this conference has a few. Southeast Louisiana, great ATS team. McNeese, not a great ATS team, but a great team. You know, they don't cover because they're favored oftentimes by double digits or so. Will Wade's squad, former VCU, former LSU coach, kind of had to reinvent himself after he got into some trouble with some violations.
Yeah.
Goes to McNeese. I mean, Kelly, this is a team that could be live for a 12-5 or a 13-4 upset come March.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And just seeing what the way you're attacking it makes sense, too. Seeing what they're doing early in the season. These teams that you expect to be dogs right now to conference play, if they're covering and not winning straight up, then, yeah, you're going to more consistent when they get back into conference play, should be a little bit stronger than what the record actually says.
Yep. Absolutely. So you take a look right now, College Hoops, some of the better teams against the number. UC San Diego, best mark in the nation. 19-5 against the spread. Florida A&M down there in, I believe that's the MEAC, 18-5. Robert Morris. So you see, like, I'm not getting into all these teams, all right? I'd be lying if I said I'm looking at Florida A&M and I've got their schedule circled. But Robert Morris, that's a team I pinned early on in the year back in, you know, I would say probably early December. And where are they now? 21-6 against the number, 78% cover clip.
Yep.
So that's a perfect example of find your team, hone in on them right behind Robert Morris. You got San Jose State in the Mountain West. And then, boom, Southeast Louisiana, Houston Christian, both top 10 teams against the number, both coming in at 72% or better. We got there on both of those teams yesterday. And then, of course, you got the big game.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone wants to bet the big game. I had someone who's a VSiN watcher, VSiN viewer, come yesterday into town, said, I want to bet on one of the national games. And I said, well, look, here are my three plays. And my favorite was Southeast Louisiana, catching all those points at home. But this person said, well, I want to bet bigger on the Arizona game. And a lot of people have that mentality. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to go bigger on the top 25 matchup. You have to be more selective. But, hey, it got home, that Arizona game at Baylor. A lot of people were worried about, you know, because of the system play. And I think we spoke about this yesterday. That system's letting a lot of people down lately, taking the unranked home favorite over the ranked road opponent. To me, don't just blindly throw darts and say, oh, it's the system. They're the favorite for a reason.
Yeah, I think that with how much golf I bet, Joe, like, look, trends are I actually think some of the trends are more predictive in golf than most sports. But overall, you got to understand, if you're looking at a trend, a system, whatever, you got to understand really what is that data telling you through the years. And some of them, I think we get a little wrapped up too much with trends. And as the great Jimmy Vaccaro would say, trends don't pay the rent. That is something to keep in mind.
Wes Reynolds, make trends acquaintances, not your friends.
Yeah. I'm sure Wes has a couple lines about it. Like, it can always help your handicapping.
Couple old song quotes too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and old TV shows, all that stuff. Yeah, just not something you want to blindly follow, I think, without any other reason of why you're betting that side.
What's the over-under when you guys do, because Wes does long shots, right? Mm-hmm. You, Wes, Matt. Yep. What's the over-under on song references pre-1985?
That's a half on long shots. When he's on with Gil on this show, I don't know, it's like 3.5. Like, that's, I mean, Gil purposely
in like a 10
goes
minute
there.
Segment?
Yeah, but Gil purposely goes there. So he wants those.
You know, the only one, because I know I'm the young guy at the station. I know I'm 26, right? But I actually listen to a lot of classic rock. That's probably my top genre. So I love older music, right?
Like Nirvana?
Even pre that, I'm talking like, well, I mean, I like Nirvana, but I don't know if I call them classic.
I want to know what classic rock.
Were you wondering if
you?
That constituted as classic? No, I'm talking Bruce, Pearl Billy Jam. Idol, The Stones. But the one line that I always give Wes, because I mean, it's a pretty easy one if you like classic rock. I'm sure you know who it is. When I hit, you know, 2 out of 3 bets, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know that one.
No,
right?
No.
Meatloaf?
Oh God!
Come on, Kelly. How is the 26-year-old educating you on Meatloaf?
Because nobody needs to know about Meatloaf. Like, nobody.
Meatloaf
ever.
Was the best.
What was the one Meatloaf song?
Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah, sure, that one. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of Bat Out of Hell. I mean, Meatloaf was amazing.
Was
Rest
he,
in peace. The guy could not sing his last 15 years. Went to a Meatloaf concert once at Jones Beach, Long Island, and Paradise by the Dashboard Light. There's that part of the song where they go instrumental. And then he's got like one of the girls up there dancing, and he just grabbed her by the face, and I swear, just stuck his tongue down his throat during that part. I was like, all right, maybe it's time for Meatloaf to hang it up.
Meatloaf.
R.I.P. Got some SEC hoops tonight, talking about, you know, people want action on the ranked teams, the big games. I love this A&M Mississippi State matchup. And this is another one. Now, Mississippi State, unlike Baylor, is ranked, but they're the lower ranked team. 21st ranked Bulldogs hosting the 7th ranked A&M Aggies. By the way, Texas A&M, I think, is one of the most unspoken of, underrated top 10 teams in the country.
Yeah.
The fact that they're all the way up there at 7th, Buzz Williams has done a phenomenal job with this program. And Mississippi State, again, lower ranked, laying 2.5 at home. I think it's a pretty good spot for A&M. A&M 9-3 straight up in SEC play. The Bulldogs just .500 in conference play on the year against the number. A&M covering at a nearly 64% clip. Mississippi State, just about a 44% clip. In conference play, the Aggies, 6-4-2 against the number. Mississippi State, bottom of the SEC, 4-8 against the number. So, trends, do with that information what you will. We'll dive into some more numbers up next, but I'm liking A&M. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
The holiday has come and gone. Cupid has taken his quill and fluttered away. So, did you get that piece of fine jewelry you were dying for? The 14-karat gold bracelet? Gemstone pendant necklace? Me neither. So now's the time to turn that wish list into a go-get list. Jared Jewelers has the on-trend fashions for your spring self waiting to be sprung. Sometimes, you just gotta take matters and gifting into your own hands. Sometimes, you gotta be the one who went to Jared.
You're free now, free to fill your feed with impossibly chonky chonkers who chonk harder than you ever thought possible.
Cats, corgis, babies, baby penguins, baby pandas, chunky baby pandas.
Free to make your smart devices do silly things. Free to open a world of remote work and a portal into Gametopia.
Who's the boss now?
Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber internet. Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability, service in select locations only.
Your heart works hard for you. Give it the support it deserves. February is Heart Health Month, and AsureWell is here to help with essential supplements designed to support circulation, cholesterol, and overall heart wellness. For a limited time, enjoy 10% off AsureWell's Heart Health and Support Essentials. Show your heart some love. Shop now at AzureLivingWell.com. That's A-Z-U-R-E, LivingWell.com. These products have not been evaluated by the FDA and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Introducing Pura Scent Design. Elevate your space with the perfect balance of fragrance and smart tech innovation, giving you the power to intentionally curate every room. With over 200 scents from top brands in Pura's marketplace, designing custom scentscapes has never been easier. For a limited time only, get a free Pura 4 home diffuser when you subscribe to 2 scents for 6 months. Pura. Life is better when it smells good. Learn more at Pura.com.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly, you ever have your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet?
Yeah.
Ever need cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables, but you hit your ATM limit?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then you might have a problem, but don't worry. Edge Boost has got your back. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. With Edge Boost, folks, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. No more headaches. For you high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits, so you never wait for a wire to clear again. It gets better, guys. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cash back rewards up to a 0.5%. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. It's a bank account, not a credit card, so there is no approval required and no credit checks. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. So like Ellie Goulding would say, what are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start a tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today. A numbers game rolls on. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo, taking you through your Tuesday morning. Did you get the music reference there, Kelly? Ellie Goulding?
Oh, no, I was totally looking up something. No, no.
Totally not paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just typing something.
Do you get the reference, Ellie Goulding? Like Ellie Goulding would say, what are you waiting for?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
No idea. 50 Shades of Grey, Love Me Like You Do.
Oh, yeah, no? Okay.
Come on, I know it's your favorite movie, Kelly. Yeah. That's how Kelly spent his Valentine's Day, by the way, watching 50 Shades. He did the whole trilogy.
The casino.
We've got tweets. Make sure you tweet at the show, at Kelly Bidlin, at the Joe Serrallo for myself. Kelly, what do we have?
Oh, yeah, this is from Ryan Hyatt. Did not have meatloaf, Pride of Lubbock Christian College for about half a semester or so on my ANG with Kelly and Joe of Visa Live Sporting. Well played, Joe. Gil would be most proud. Bonus points if you know this continues. If you know the former baseball legend slash announcer featured in the song.
Baseball legend and announcer. I mean, I know the part of the song, like the back of my hand. I love that. That's the song where he grabbed the girl. Is that Phil Rizzuto?
I was going to say, look at him try to think. This is the classic, I know the answer to this question, I want to read this tweet. Yes,
is it Rizzuto?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now what Rizzuto would be the most famous for me for, I think, would be...
Billy Madison?
Billy Madison. I love it. Billy Madison. Like the Curse of Z's.
Phil Rizzuto, right? That is a great movie. I'm glad, because I was going to go there. I'm glad you went there. That is a great movie, great song. Great little bit of history right there. Phil Rizzuto, the answer to that question. So take that, everyone who says, what's a 26-year-old doing on a show?
Yeah.
He doesn't know his history. That's right. Phil Rizzuto, baby.
I think this is every a numbers game, though. Gil brings up some song from, like, from 1984, and I'm like, I don't know the title. Like, can you, like, play it for me a little bit? Like, I don't know song titles.
I think
titles.
I would get more of Gil's references
yes,
than you.
Yes, you would. Absolutely. I don't know song titles at all. Like this is... It's
That's fair.
Blows my mind how people know that stuff. I'm like, play the song for me a little bit, and then I probably could tell you if I actually know it or not.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I my professors used to get so mad. I couldn't memorize the Pythagorean theorem, but I could tell you song titles from 1984.
Yeah, there you go. Kelly, this is just like, I thought one of the easiest courses I signed up for in college was dinosaurs and natural disasters. Thought that was going to be a walk in the park at Old Florida State, Joe. No, not until you figure out there's like 9,000 dinosaurs named like the same thing, and you had to memorize every single one of them.
It was
like one of the toughest classes I ended up taking.
Yeah, that was how I felt. I took a class called Stars and Stellars. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to look at the stars? Yeah. This is great.
You're like, I got this. Saturn. Yeah, totally.
Got to memorize like all the constellations and add it. Oh my
Big
goodness.
Big mistakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, absolutely not for me. Kelly, we've got NBA action as soon as tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it yesterday. We'll reiterate. Awful scheduling by the league. I mean, I don't know what the association's doing. We're having one standalone game. Lakers, Hornets. How much do you want to bet LeBron and Luka may or may not even play in this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, based off of LeBron not playing in the All-Star game, it'd be interesting to see how the Lakers return, what strategy with those guys. So this is one of the makeups from the fires, but I don't remember. So I don't know if the original return date was actually supposed to be Thursday.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But they might have reshuffled the NBA a little bit of slack with the scheduling.
That actually makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense as to why this would be the lone standalone. Lakers laying 13 right now. I'm certainly not running to the counter to get in on that preflop. But what I am interested in is some win totals now that we're at the All-Star break. And again, not the midway point. What would you, like 70%?
Yeah, it's right? Something like that. Yeah.
Two-thirds of the way, maybe. So what makes this different than most other All-Star breaks is you get a chance to take a step back. And you can actually go game for game. Not that it's an exact science. You know, the old Mike and the Mad Dog, give them a win, give them a loss. They would do that during football season. Well, now there's few enough games where you can kind of try to bunch them into, I would say, maybe three categories, right? Win, loss, toss-up. You see the Wizards on there? Sorry, I'm giving them a win. And I know the Wizards aren't going to lose out, but, you know, if I see the Wizards on someone's schedule, I'm giving them a win. So, speaking of the Washington Wizards, that takes us to the Southeast Division. Kelly, anyone in that division that you're interested in playing a win total on?
Man, yeah, I went through the whole Eastern Conference. We're going to do this today. Tomorrow we'll hit the Western Conference before they get back in action as well. Drew Dinsen coming up next, too. He might have some thoughts. I think this is a great time of year, first of all. You know, if you are betting the NBA regularly, Joe, it's just a great time to sit back, reevaluate some futures markets. Maybe you haven't checked in on as often. You know, Gil and I do it almost every single week through the football season, where we're checking in on updated win totals in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
NBA, I think it gets a little, you don't need to do it every week, but if you check in kind of every month, every 6 weeks or something, you usually find something you want to add. So there's a couple I ended up kind of isolating yesterday as I was going through all of these on what I wanted to play. As far as that division goes, I mean, we talked a bit about this yesterday.
Right.
Magic, Hawks, Heat, is there a bet there between those three? They're all bunched in the standing so much. You're getting a little better number on the Hawks. Okay, let's address the two teams at the bottom first. We do have to keep in mind we are still what are we going with in the pooper for Cooper or tanking for Flag, you know, whatever we're talking about.
Pooper for Cooper. Yeah. I haven't heard that one yet. That's a good one.
This is where I need my telestrator. But those two teams at the bottom, there is not much incentive to win for either one of those teams, and I would expect that the rest of the season. Look, win totals, I think, for the top three teams are pretty tough. I talked a bit about this yesterday. I expect to see the Magic bounce back here at some point. But, man, they've shown you really nothing since they've gotten their guys back healthy to make you believe that.
Yeah.
And at least at these numbers, not really much that I'm looking at doing with that team. You're talking about the win total set at 41.5. I couldn't get there on an over or an under on that team. Just I want to believe in them, and that kind of mucks up this entire division, I think, if you are looking at betting win totals. The Heat, same number. They're priced at 41.5. Understand why they're there right around the Magic. We are talking about some of the easier schedules down the stretch with all three of these teams. If I was going to bet one over, it would be Atlanta. We talked about it yesterday. They got to do is finish 13-14 to get over the 38.5 that's posted at most shops for them. They're still going to be they'll still likely be fighting for this play-in spot. They don't have a tough schedule. Again, all three of these teams, bottom third of the league, remaining strength of schedule. So if I was looking for an over in this division, it would be on the Hawks over the Magic or the Heat. That's for sure. I think this is a tough when we talk about a division to look at as a whole for win totals, not ones that really any of them jumped out to me.
Yeah, so Atlanta right now, their win total's coming in 38.5, but it's pretty juiced, minus 145 to the over. For one extra win, if you take them to win 40-plus, Kelly, you can get that at plus 110.
So love your thinking. I think shop around. First of all, I did end up betting one of these win totals. We'll go over here yesterday. Shop around. It's amazing still how big a difference is there are in numbers, not just wins out there, but you might see heavy juice on one side.
Right.
And then same thing. I thought about it. I bet a win total. And then last night I was like, you know what? I probably should have looked at one of these alt markets like Joe just brought up of the 30-plus, 35, you know, 40, whatever, how many plus wins. Look at just compare odds. You might want to add on.
Yeah, this Atlanta team, there's so many ways, and we talked about them yesterday, right? The one thing that gives me pause, you mentioned that strength of schedule-wise, in terms of remaining strength of schedule, Atlanta 23rd, Orlando 24th, Miami 25th, right? So they're all pretty bunched up, all have favorable schedules the rest of the way. Atlanta doesn't have any games with Washington left.
Mm-hmm.
The Magic and the Heat both have three games left.
Yeah,
with big. The Wizards.
That is big.
So that's a minimum 2-1 right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to imagine that is a minimum 2-1. Atlanta's most favorable matchups the rest of the way, one with Utah, two with the Hornets, two with the Nets, three with the Sixers, which based on record would be favorable, but you never know which Sixers team you're going to get. Could be a Sixers team that's, you know, looking like Eastern Conference Finals material if everyone's playing. Although, man, what is up with Paul George?
He's having a terrible season.
He is just looked atrocious.
He's having one of the worst seasons of his career. He might be washed completely. They're another team that's impossible to make a bet on right now. I'd almost clump them in like
Orlando. 11-1 for 40 wins.
Yeah, like Orlando, they're kind of, I expect them to show some fight at some point. I think they're going to. But, man, they've shown you absolutely nothing so far to make you believe that. And with them, you really got to trust that Joel Embiid's going to stay healthy and stay on the court. I throw out the Paul George stuff, whatever. He's been terrible all season. I'm not expecting him to turn things around. But Tyrese Maxey's still a stud out there, even though he's having a bit of a down season.
Love him.
But I'd kind of blame that on the rest of the company that he has around him, more so than him.
I would agree.
He's still doing a great job scoring this year. Just you have to count on Joel Embiid being there. And I think if you're thinking that way, Joe, Philadelphia, I'd rather attack much higher than just playing over a win total. Might as well go play a long shot number on them to win the East or something like that if you really think there's that, if you believe in that team that
right.
much.
Right, wait till the playoffs to see if they get healthy. I will say, this is interesting. To win 35 or more games, they're plus 110. They'd have to go, 15-13 the rest of the way to get there? That is interesting to keep an eye on. It's a plus money play. Not quite the 11-1 for 40 games, but I don't think they're going 20 and whatever the rest of the way. More numbers game after the break. Drew Dinzik joins the show, gives out some of his best bets. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues here on VSiN. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through your Tuesday morning. And shortly here, taking you back to our progressive guest line as we welcome in our friend, analyst for NBC Sports Edge, Drew Dinzik. Follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Joining the show, some Champions League action and, to my surprise, some Oscars action as well. Drew, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Those of us who are typically just hammering NBA this time of year, when the All-Star break rolls around, you find other ways to occupy your handicapping time. I have a little bit of tennis outrights, although I'm down. I staked it down this week after hitting Joao Fonseca in Buenos Aires. I think he goes back to the well and he ships his home tournament of Rio. If you haven't caught on to the Fonseca train, he is a great up-and-coming 18-year-old player. A lot of growing to do, a lot of learning the game. But what he showed last week, kind of taking out multiple Argentinian players on their home court, and in just kind of displaying sort of the hallmarks of just, the type of tennis that will someday result in a Grand Slam title is enough for me to get really excited about. So no match action for me today in Rio. I'll be watching for fun, but I do think Fonseca can go back to back here.
All right. So futures price over in ATP Rio de Janeiro, Alexander Zverev plus 150, Fonseca plus 500. So nothing there for you, Drew. You don't like the future price right now?
No, I took a little bit, but it's a small stake compared to what I had going last week. And it's just because, like, sometimes after you win your first title, there's a little bit of a letdown. In fact, that's one of, like, sort of the classic tennis handicapping angles. Guy or gal wins their first title and then comes out the next week and just completely lays an egg. And sometimes it's not even first title. Sometimes it's just really meaningful title, like what we saw with Amanda Anisimova, who shipped Doha last week and then had to come back in Dubai and was a non-compete in her round one match. So I'm prepared for some heartbreak there. But ultimately, this is a weak field, and Fonseca is the real deal. And the top seed really is maybe the bet against in Zverev. It looks to me like he is a player who has taken the paycheck to take an extended vacation in South America over this couple of weeks. His ouster in Buenos Aires was embarrassing.
Drew, take us over to the Champions League quickly. Atalanta is a team that a lot of people were interested in the futures market. They were coming in as high as 30-1 as a long shot there. What do you like about this squad moving forward here in the Champions League?
I mean, they're an aggressive attacking, kind of perfect team that you want to back in this type of a format, particularly with their backs against the wall at home against Club Brugge. Got a surprising result in the first leg, 2-1. So Atlanta can't just win. They have to win by margin here to avoid the potential for extra time, etc. I laid one and a quarter goals. So basically that's a split stake between -1 and -1.5 at +104. And I think, that in general, like the firepower that they bring to the table, particularly their, you know, their ability to generate goals is going to be the difference here. I'm really surprised, honestly, that we're getting this type of price. I would have made this one closer to the, sort of the market you're seeing for Bayern Munich against Celtic. So, yeah, Atalanta is a team that I think people are a little bit sleeping on in just in international competition in general. They are grading out as one of the better, you know, clear top eight team in Champions League play to this point in the cycle. And I'm just going to ride the numbers we've got on them so far that says they're very good and that Club Brugge is not.
Always interesting to listen to the Deep Dive podcast right after the Super Bowl and you figure out what all Drew is betting besides football, what else he's got going on besides the NBA and tennis and football. Very entertaining pod every single year, Drew. All right, so NBA, I want to circle back to the NBA with you. We're starting back in action tomorrow night. Anything that you're doing during the downtime right now, looking at futures markets, anything like that? I know we're talking some Eastern Conference win totals today. Any teams in the East that you're kind of high or low on right now going forward rest of the season?
Ooh, that's interesting. As far as just win totals, I can give you a couple of my numbers. I think Cleveland's going to come in around 62. I think the Celtics are going to come in around 59. And I think that's your 1-2 in stone, effectively, in the East. As much as I like the Knicks, I'm a little nervous that they're going to run out of gas at some point here. I would not rate them as capable of taking on a Celtics in a 2-3. So I think your Eastern Conference Finals would be, I would be pretty shocked if it's not, Cleveland hosting Boston. My fourth team in the East, and this actually surprised me when I ran my numbers, is the Pacers. I've been betting the Pacers and losing the last couple of weeks, and so I'm surprised that my numbers still say yes, they're a 45 win team, but that's what I got. And maybe it's more of a indictment of the Bucks than it is an endorsement of the Pacers, because I'm have the Bucks at fifth in the 43 win range. I have the Pistons locked in at 42. Orlando, Miami, coin flip for 7 and 8 right now. I have some Miami to win the Southeast staked at +350. And I am pretty sure that's not going to win just because Miami is, in the absence of Butler, is all of a sudden a liability in terms of creating fourth quarter points. That Oklahoma City, Miami fourth quarter last week was haunting. I think Atlanta Philly is your 9-10, and you can put a stake in basically everyone else in the East. The one thing in the East that I was kind of interested in your opinion on, maybe Kelly, is from a win total standpoint, I'm rating Toronto as a 30-win team, and the market is not there for them. Where are you with the Raps?
Well, we haven't hit it yet, Drew, but the one bet I did end up making yesterday was over 26.5 wins for the Toronto Raptors. Yes, that is the one bet that I ended up making.
30-plus, by the way, is almost 3-1.
So that is when you brought that up earlier, Joe. Right. I was thinking last night, I'm like, you know what? I should probably look at some of the alt markets and consider that play. Yeah. I did the same thing, Drew. I'm like, I've got them close to 30 is where I've got them at. 26.5. I thought was low. I mean, the problem is, are we concerned at all? If they have another injury, go into a couple bad weeks of the All-Star break, do they just kind of wave the white flag on the season and try to catch some of these other losing teams? I think as of right now, though, they're stuck in a spot and they get all these guys back healthy that they're probably going to go out there and win too many games or more games than they should.
Yeah. Did you look at the schedule?
Yeah.
They have the easiest schedule remaining. Yeah. And it's not even freaking close.
Yep.
Three games left against the Wizards, two against the Jazz, two against the Hornets. If they don't win, at least six of those games, I'll be shocked. I mean, the Wizards are tanking extraordinarily well right now. The Jazz and the Hornets are not putting out competitive squads. That should realistically be seven right there. They get two against the Nets. The Nets are a confusing tanking team. And they get two against the Bills. The Bulls are not a confusing tanking team. But, like, fundamentally, right within just those head-to-heads right there, if they don't, kind of threaten, I'll be disappointed. And they're not playing a lot of good teams either. Like, their toughest game remaining is against the Celtics. Their next toughest game remaining is against the Pacers?
Yeah.
This is a very, very soft finish. And the fact that they got Ingram and they're all probably looking to kind of build a little bit of momentum heading into next year as opposed to really truly tanking. I would agree with you. Like, I think, you know, if you've already staked 26.5, fine. But I think this is a long tail kind of bet because either they tank and they don't even get to 26 or 27, or they start playing well and they clear this one by margin. So yeah, I love the alt look.
Yeah, Drew, I'm curious. I know that you've got money on Atlanta, but what about Atlanta, the Hawks, plus 425 to win their division? It's a virtual three-way tie. You've got Miami and Orlando, both well shorter than 2-1, and then the Hawks out there at plus 425 on principle alone for, you know, teams that are all tied with one another, essentially. Is that worth a play to you?
You know, it's not, and it's tough to say this out loud because I just don't understand really what this team is in terms of how they've composed this roster now and what they did at the deadline. A number of the trades at the deadline, you kind of hear that they make the move and you're like, all right, fine. And then you kind of dig in a little bit and you're like, wait a minute, they gave up 2 seconds to get to take a, you know, man from the Clipper, like really confusing, like, sort of overall vision and management of that squad. If you do have any type of, you know, kind of just general spirit and you want to get involved with anything Hawks, there is a bet to be made. And it is on Trae Young as clutch player of the year. Mm. Very quietly, Trae Young has completely wiped out the lead that Jokic had in terms of just total clutch stat accumulation. And I'm actually surprised that Jokic is still the strong favorite in that market. It's like people kind of feel like are acting like this is going to be like some sort of MVP consolation prize. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I think Trae Young is probably ought to be your favorite there. And your second choice should probably be Brunson. Brunson has been a more efficient clutch player. Trae Young has been the more compelling volume clutch player. And the fact that both of those guys are shooting more threes, they're getting greater usage, their player impact is higher, they're just overall they've mattered more, and their teams are winning in the clutch. I think Trae Young clutch is probably a better proxy bet than even Atlanta Southeast.
Trae's the second shot 4-1, Brunson third shot plus 650. Drew, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on.
Best of luck, you guys.
Check him out on NBC Sports Edge, the Deep Dive Pod, and follow him on Twitter at @whale_cap or more A Numbers Game with Kelly Bidlin and myself, Joe Cirillo, after the break.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level with our friends over at First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. It's the number one, stbet.com, and use the promo code VEASAN200 to score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. The Numbers Game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through your Tuesday morning here on the program. Great NBA futures talk right there with our friend Drew Dinzik. Yep. Kelly, the Toronto Raptors, a team that you and Drew both seem to have circled.
Yeah, it's interesting because Gil and I talk about this all the time. We do these, we try to dive into some of these futures markets, want to go over kind of what are our favorite win totals or something like that right now. It doesn't always lead to bets for us. Obviously, we're going to talk through all of them and kind of talk about what sticks out to us the most as far as the good, the bad, where we're looking over, under. Really funny he just brought that up, though, because I thought the Eastern Conference, when I was doing all my prep yesterday, Joe, I think I made it through about halfway through the East, and I'm like, first thought I kept coming back to was the West is going to be such a better conversation. Like, I can't wait to do the West on Wednesday. It's going to be such a better conversation.
Like, a lot tougher strength of schedule out there.
Yeah, and then I get to the Raptors, though, and it's a lot of what Drew broke down. It's, okay, you're seeing where the standings, what the remaining schedule is, what the win total is listed for this team. And first of all, this is an excellent shop around. I was looking at DraftKings at first. It was 27.5 there.
Right.
And okay, you start looking at where they're at in the standings. Okay, then you start shopping around. Okay, 27.5 isn't the best I can get. 26.5 is the best I can get. Got to finish 10-17 to go over that mark. Drew just ran through it a bit. They played by far the easiest schedule remaining in the NBA. And the one thing, the one concern I have, which doesn't seem to concern Drew as much, just if they do have a couple more injuries, like this has been a really banged up team this year. This is actually, as soon as they get Pirtle back, about as healthy as they have been all season. But, you know, if they do have one or two more injuries, Joe, they lose some games coming out of the All-Star break. It's easy to, you could see for this team to think, okay, let's try to be one of those teams that just kind of loses out and maybe we get in the Cooper Flagg states. But as of right now, you know, I think they got the sixth worst record, seventh worst record in the NBA. They're really not there. They're not close to some of the bottom feeder teams. They're still kind of 4 or 5 wins clear of a lot of those teams. So I think, unfortunately, a lot of teams find themselves in this situation. The Nets did this themselves this year, too, where you kind of play yourself out of the sweepstakes, which is the worst thing you can do as a franchise. How often we talk about that in the NFL all the time. Worst place you can be is right in the middle, right? You want to be at the top or the bottom. Being in the middle does you no good. But you bring over Brandon Ingram. They've kind of already got their sights set on the future of how this team's going to develop and look anyways. And Drew ran through it. I mean, the teams that they play down the stretch, it is by far the easiest schedule. All you got to do is 10 wins to get over 26.5. I'm in. It's a bet I ended up making. Not only was it one I kind of circled that I liked for this discussion yesterday, but it was a bet I ended up making. I might be adding a little bit onto it after what Drew just had to say last segment as well. But yeah, Raptors over, man. That is my favorite Eastern Conference play. That's for sure.
Tell me if you thought we'd be saying this on February 18th, 2025. The fourth most difficult game, according to Tankathon, that the Raptors have remaining on their schedule, the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Fourth most difficult. I mean, three with the Wizards, two with the Hornets, two with the Jazz, two with the Nets, who are nothing to scoff at, because the Nets are, you know, like Drew pointed out and like you just reiterated, they're a frisky team. They're kind of hard to figure. Great against the number, as is Toronto, by the way. But you look at Toronto's schedule as a whole, and this is baffling. I mean, some of the easier schedules remaining, you look at these opponent winning percentages, right? And we mentioned Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, right? 483, 482, 478. Minnesota and Philly at 26 and 27 on most difficult schedules, both 474. Toronto's opponent winning percentage, 398. Mm-hmm. 50 points lower than the next easiest team, the Washington Wizards, who were 29th.
Yep.
50 points lower. So that's absolutely insane. Your bet does, I mean, I don't want to use this term, but it feels like a gift. It really does, especially with the way that the Raptors have been exceeding expectations all year, especially in the, you know, in the gambling markets, the way that they've been covering. It seems like they're going to be able to pull out 10, 11, maybe 12 wins.
Yeah,
and as we start to go up that ladder a little bit, you start to look in maybe some alt markets, right?
Yeah, I think that 30-plus is worth looking at. And honestly, if you're thinking about it the way I am, that's probably where I'm going to add in this market. I think Drew made a good point there. If you're, like, it's already kind of the way I'm thinking about it. If the only concern I have is what do they look like for the next couple weeks out of the All-Star break and, you know, whether they're going to become a tanking team or not, okay, then just shoot a little higher. You might as well go 30-plus. That's kind of where I'm projecting them out towards anyways. What were you saying, like 3-1 on that?
280, yeah, plus 280. Yeah,
so that's a good price. If you wanted to just kind of play the alt over, go for the high-end tail, I think that's a completely fine idea. That's basically what Drew was throwing out of the only thing he'd look at. I already bet the over 26.5, but that's probably where I'll be adding a bit today, isn't that 30-plus.
Did the Nets catch your attention at all?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
If they finish 10-18... you can get them to win 30 plus at nearly 5-1.
No, I think they are a team that, look, they've overexceeded a little bit earlier. They still have some talent on this roster. That's the problem is they've kept enough talent around that they're going to stumble into some wins still. But I'm not worried about them winning.
You don't think they can win
much.
A third of their games? I mean, the fact that the Nets are longer than the Raptors, they're 3 games up on Toronto in the standings.
Yeah.
Yet they're almost double the odds to win 30.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's telling you, the books are telling you how much faith they have in one team versus the other. Right. I mean, that's all it is. Look, I mean, Cameron Johnson's still around. The one guy who, like, one of the biggest surprises who didn't get traded at the NBA trade deadline is still around. There's still some talent on this team. They could, but not a bet I'm running to make.
One thing I thought was interesting with Drew is that he seemed to, when he gave out his win projections, some of them were on the hook. He had the under for, I believe, each of the top 6, 7, 8 teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Had all of them falling under their projection because obviously, you know, the casual bettor wants to run to the counter and place overs, right? So Drew came in under on every team, Cavs, Celtics, Knicks, Pacers, Bucks, Pistons, all under. You like one of those unders too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Milwaukee under. I'll start the top two though. This is, Yeah, like Cavs lean under. Boston, I actually lean over on. But
I do too.
Oh man, is it baked into the win total? Like they would, I think it's, they'd only be able to lose six more games if you're looking at the over. Like it's really baked into that number that they're
posting. Third easiest schedule left.
I know. Like that's where they're at. It would be a lead over there, but would not be a play. I mean, they're not going to be a dog in many of those games. I think he brought it up at Pacers. Same thing for me. It's a lean to the over. Need to win 18 of their last 29. Not a crazy difficult remaining schedule. So it'd be a little bit lean over there. And then it's lean under on the Knicks for me. I got to the Bucks. Bucks are a tough team to figure out. I am not going to make this bet because I already have an over on the bet, Bucks win total from preseason. So I'm just going to be rooting that one on. I don't want to get in a situation where I middle myself. But if I did not have that bet in the account, I'd probably be interested in a Milwaukee under. The biggest thing, so 45.5 is where their win total is set at. 17 wins, they need 17 wins in their 29 remaining games to get there. They have the seventh toughest remaining schedule. I like the Bucks. But I think you got to consider the under here for a couple reasons. First of all, we're asking a fair amount already for them to come out, hit this over. I don't know what's going on with Giannis' health, though. And I know there's a lot of expectation that he's going to be back this week and it's going to be pretty quick, that they're used the All-Star break to get him healthy. But, Joe, it's really concerning. He's one of my favorite players, one of the guys I trust the most in the NBA. But when you see a left calf strain with what he went through last year and some of the injuries he's gone through with his legs before, it concerns me. Is it something that could maybe flare back up? Is it something that is going to maybe take him a little bit more time than we all realize? We don't really know because we see these reports when he first got injured, and then we go on this break, and there's not really any updates through the All-Star break. So I think we're going to learn a lot more about this team and his health specifically over the next couple days. But, man, it would already have been a lean to the under, and throw any Giannis questionable injury stuff in there, it probably would have made it a small bet for me if I didn't already have a position on Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it briefly when we were talking about Dame Lillard and the three-point contest. That whole experiment, this team just has not really meshed and gelled the way that I expected them to.
I think the other important thing to point out, if you're looking at Pacers-Bucks, okay, it's not going to be something they worry about right now, but at a certain point, Joe, a lot of the Eastern Conference final situations that Drew talked about, you're going to want to watch out where you position yourself here into the playoffs. The Pacers and Bucks don't want to get up to the 3 seed. If this is where the standings are going to look like towards the end of the season, you are perfectly fine being in that 4-5 spot. You'd rather play the Cavs in that opening matchup than have to play, Celtics, Knicks, something like that in the first round, or the Celtics, I would say, at least in the first round going on the road there. So that's where I'd be looking. That would be the biggest thing, is play the Pacers first round, then you get to play the Cavs the second round, then you don't have to worry about the Celtics till after that. So I do think there'll be a little, not that we're losing games on purpose till really the very end of the season to put yourself in positions like this, but it's something to keep in mind when you're looking at where these teams are at in the standings and what they're going to do win total-wise. On the flip side of that, the Pistons, kind of no matter what you think of them, all right, they're stuck. They're pretty much stuck in that sixth seed. They're just going to be doing everything they can to stay out of that play-in tournament. That is a team I wouldn't want to touch with a bet at all right now, because they will be playing as hard as they can just to stay out of that play-in situation.
Yeah, this Detroit team, they're a little spunky. I like this team a lot. I've got more on the Celtics, too, coming up. But up next, VSiN's own Will Hill going to join the show, break down some college hoops. Don't miss it. It's a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin, Joe Cirulla.